This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where no great issue polarizes people more emotionally than the issue of the role of religion in American life. It's not the question of whether there should be an established church, one established religion that rules over all Americans. Not the issue as to whether we should have government doing what the Puritan government did in Massachusetts, enforcing rules of Sabbath observance, or that people are not allowed to sleep during sermons, that they must attend church every Sunday. Nobody wants that. Nobody talks about that. The real question that seems to divide people is America's religious nature an essential element of this country since its founding? And for those people who deny that it is an essential element of America, for those people who say that the religious right is some kind of evil attacking force that wants to impose some alien theocracy in America, they would have to indicate that, okay, America was clearly, as we've shown in this very special broadcast, America has clearly been a deeply Christian nation, always has been from our founding. But people say, well, it's not that way today. Okay, when did it change? How did it change? When did this idea of a change, of America losing its Christian nature, its Christian identity, its Christian heritage, when did that idea of America being something different kick in? We will approach that question and many more in this very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation? Isn't it amazing that in a country where our great national holiday, as opposed to an international holiday, Christmas is an international holiday, our great national holiday is Thanksgiving. Okay, how can anyone deny the deeply religious nature of a country whose national holiday is called Thanksgiving and is based very, very clearly on Christian traditions? To go back to the founders one more time, and to some of the slanders about the founders, it is completely true that a lot of the founders were very adventurous religious thinkers. They were not conventional, tradition-bound Christians. And that included George Washington. One of the things that has been hotly debated among different advocates in this is that famous painting showing George Washington kneeling in prayer at Valley Forge. Did that really happen? Did he really kneel in prayer? George Washington had a tough time with organized religion and with church in general, but he was a deeply Christian guy. He may have, in fact, had a tough time with kneeling in prayer. So it's not clear that that image was accurate, but the true image of George Washington believing in God's role in human affairs, rejecting deism, in other words, that is incontestable. When he says in his first inaugural address, the very first address by a president under the Constitution, that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Okay, the first president is telling you there is an invisible hand that conducts the affairs of men. And no, it's not the invisible hand of some super-secret conspiracy of outer space aliens. In his portraits of our founding fathers, John Meacham, who's well-known as the editor of Newsweek, controversial editor of Newsweek, he did a fine book which is called American Gospel, God, the Founding Fathers, and the Making of a Nation. He makes it clear that the God-haunted nature of the men who made a revolution helped to shape their personalities and their character. They all, according to Meacham, delved and dabbled in religion. While Jefferson edited the Gospels, Benjamin Franklin rephrased and rearranged the Book of Common Prayer. John Adams considered the ministry, but chose law instead. For the rest of his life, he was a Unitarian who privately confessed a weakness for the beauty of Episcopal liturgy. Samuel Adams, a fierce advocate of independence, was a Puritan who looked askance at other faiths, but knew that faith and political warfare were a deadly combination. End quote. Now, the one founding father that everybody always brings up who had the biggest problem with religion was Thomas Paine, the pamphleteer who wrote Common Sense, arguing for independence. He was British. He came over to this new country to be part of the revolutionary struggle. But even Thomas Paine would fit more comfortably with today's religious conservatives than with the secular militants who claim him as one of their own. At the time, the restless revolutionary's attack on traditional Christian doctrine in his book The Age of Reason alienated virtually all of his American comrades. Nevertheless, even after that, in a 1797 speech to a learned French society, Thomas Paine maintained that schools must concentrate on the study of God, presenting his arguments with an eloquent insistence on recognizing the Almighty that would delight James Dobson of Focus on the Family, but would mortally offend the secular purists of the ACLU, the American Criminal Lawyers Union. Here is what Thomas Paine said in 1797. It has been the error of the schools to teach astronomy and all the other sciences and subjects of natural philosophy as accomplishments only, whereas they should be taught theologically, or with reference to the being, capital B, who is the author of them. For all the principles of science are of divine origin. Man cannot make or invent or contrive principles. He can only discover them. And he ought to look through the discovery to the author, capital A. When we study the elements of geometry, we think of Euclid. When we speak of gravitation, we think of Newton. How, then, is it that when we study the works of God in the creation, we stop short and we do not think of God? It is from the error of the schools in having taught those subjects as accomplishments only, and thereby separated the study of them from the being who is the author of them. This is all extraordinarily important, because part of the entire basis for the assault on America's religious heritage is, well, we're actually restoring the faith of our founders who had faith in seculars. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Because one of the key elements that the founders held in common, regardless of their personal religious outlook, was a belief in the benefit of religious faith. Okay, despite Tom Paine's reverence for the author of nature, his former American colleagues still denounced him for his rejection of Christianity. In a diary notation of July 26, 1776, John Adams asserted, quote, "The Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times. The religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Let the blackguard Paine say what he will. It is resignation to God. It is goodness itself to man." Like Adams, the other founders looked beyond Christianity's truths, even when they generally accepted them, and passionately affirmed its benefits. They unanimously agreed on the importance of fervent faith in protecting and nourishing the republic that they had launched. Washington's farewell address provided the most famous formulation of this belief. The president said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them." That was George Washington. Okay? For people to suggest that our founders did not want Christianity to flourish in America is simply not true. They did want to keep the federal government from endorsing one form of Christianity. But they themselves affirmed again and again and again that America's strength and its future and its liberty depended on faith in God.
Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. For more history programs, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com and check out our new history podcast for premium members called In Light of History.
You're listening to a very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show under the heading, Is America a Christian Nation? Yeah, it's a controversial proposition, but one of the points in which our founding fathers agreed, even when they disagreed about religion. For instance, it is absolutely true that Thomas Jefferson was skeptical about some passages in the Bible. The Jefferson Bible that he worked on and spent time agonizing over involved him putting together those passages of the Bible that he liked and kind of snipping out those passages of the Bible he disliked. But by the way, Jefferson was not a Muslim, despite the fact that the first Muslim member of Congress, Keith Ellison, was sworn into office on a Quran that had belonged to Thomas Jefferson. What's ironic about that, and the press didn't generally report, was Jefferson wrote horrible things about the Quran. He really disliked the Quran, and he thought that Islam was not a good religion. After all, he had our first war that he conducted in 1805 against the Barbary pirates, the first Islamic terrorists to threaten Americans and American fighting men. But that's beside the point, because the point of agreement for all of our founders, which is actually the point of essential agreement among religious believers of various stripes today, is not on specific doctrine. It is not on specific dogma. It's on the proposition, very simply, that religion, which in American terms has always meant Christianity, because the overwhelming majority of people in this country from the very beginning and to the current day have been Christian, that Christianity is good for the country, that it actually helps the country achieve its aims and is a blessing for all of the nation's people. John Adams, for instance, the successor to George Washington in the White House, wrote to his cousin Zabdiel Adams in 1776, and this is a direct quote, "Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion, capital R, and morality, capital M, alone, which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." In other words, whatever your questions and arguments about specifics of religious faith, Americans have never questioned the idea that religious faith is good for the Republic and that Christianity is one of the things that sustains the people through every difficulty. Whatever their theological disagreements or doubts, those who created this new nation in the 18th century shared a unanimous faith in the positive impact of vital religious institutions. For more than 150 years, the national leaders who followed them echoed their confidence in the importance of religiosity to the health of society and to the stability of government. And it's that consensus that I'm proud to be part of. One of the questions that I'm sure occurs to people is, how is it that this Jewish guy here, and I am proudly Jewish, I try to be observant. I'm very involved in Jewish activities. I was president of a synagogue for 15 years. So how can I be so outspoken that America is and continues to be a Christian nation? Because I happen to believe that this country has been good for my people, not in spite of its Christian heritage, but because of it. Because I happen to believe that Christianity actually is good for the nation at large. And things that are good for America, yeah, by definition, are good for the Jews, because this country has been such a blessing to my people. In sharpest contrast to secular militants today, who fear the increased influence of religious faith, the founders worried over the potential impact of diminished influence for Christian faith. While separationists today sound the alarm over theocracy, the revolutionary generation, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, Washington, Hamilton, all the rest of them, the revolutionary generation felt dread and horror, particularly after the atheists led the French Revolution. They felt horror at the potential rule of what they called unbelief. By the time Alexis de Tocqueville visited this flourishing republic in the early 1830s, he noted the universal conviction that Christian enthusiasm played a powerful role in the nation's success. He wrote, "In the United States, Christian sects are infinitely diversified and perpetually modified, but Christianity itself is an established and irresistible fact which no one undertakes either to attack or defend." That comes to the question of our national hymnal. What do I mean? Well, the blending of faith and nationalism became an additional irresistible fact more than two centuries ago, reinforcing the American idea that religion serves the cause of the nation, just as the nation ultimately serves the cause of religion. In the emotional days after the September 11th attacks, for instance, secular activists objected to performances of God Bless America or God Bless the USA in public schools, but their inability to suggest some faith-free alternatives highlighted their alienation from the American mainstream. All of our most revered nationalist songs emphasize the Republic's special connection to the Almighty. Now, this is a basic fact of American life. Okay, you don't want people to sing God Bless America? You don't want people to sing God Bless the USA? What are you going to have them sing? Every patriotic song, everyone, invokes God at some point. Our national anthem, for instance, the Star-Spangled Banner, indicates that the idea of this relationship, the relationship between religious faith and patriotism, preceded today's religious rite by at least 200 years. The Star-Spangled Banner includes Francis Scott Key's incontrovertibly religious sentiments in its final verse. That final verse says,
"Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust."
That's where the phrase comes from. The phrase that is on the currency. Okay, if you're going to junk the national anthem because it mentions God, then what are you going to do about our alternate national anthem, the other most beloved patriotic hymn? That's America the Beautiful, with its chorus, "America, America, God, shed his grace on thee." Now, Catherine Lee Bates began writing those words after reaching the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado in 1893 and entering a state of near religious ecstasy upon contemplation of the great plains to the east spread out below her. She included lots of verses that repeatedly ask assistance from the Almighty. "America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." And can we really ask, is America a Christian nation?
This is the Michael Medved Show.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
I mean, as long as you keep your mask on, everybody keep their mask on and stuff and stay distance, I think everything should be all right. I don't expect a lot of people to come out today.
Those comments from a shopper in New York, courtesy of NBC's Today Show. The pandemic may be keeping some Black Friday shoppers from stores, but online sales are continuing to soar. Over $5 billion has been spent online, which is up 22% from last year. Ahead of two key Senate runoffs, President Trump says he'll be visiting the Peach State.
We're going to have a tremendous crowd. They're looking for the right site. Probably we'd love to take one of the big stadiums, but you can't because of the COVID. So we'll have an outdoor form of probably an airport. Most likely it's an airport. They're looking for the biggest space. And we'll have, you know, tens of thousands of people show up.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Marching song of the American Revolution, Chester, full of references to God, but so are all patriotic American songs, which tells you something about the essence of this country. For instance, we talked about the Star-Spangled Banner, we talked about America the Beautiful. How about America, also known as My Country, Tis of Thee, same melody as God Save the King? Well, that provides no safe haven for those who yearn to disentangle religious and patriotic messages, not with the inescapably churchy concluding verse that says, "Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." Okay, you can't get away from this stuff. And then you come to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the stirring marching song of the war between the states. It isn't merely religious, with its chorus invoking the biblical word, hallelujah, praise to God. But it's also specifically Christian. Why? Well, because the final, very moving verse, most often sung in a reverent hush, as it is here by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Thank you.
as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. They've substituted the phrase, let us live to make men free. But, I mean, come on, can you imagine? How come the American Civil Liberties Union has left that song alone? Because when they say his truth is marching on, they're not talking about John Brown or Abraham Lincoln. They're talking about Jesus. It is a Christian song in a Christian country. Meanwhile, a Jewish guy wrote the most recent of the popular patriotic melodies, which first appeared on the eve of World War II as a love letter to the nation from an immigrant boy who became the leading Broadway composer of perhaps all time. His name was Irving Berlin, original name Yisrael Balin. He donated all proceeds from God Bless America to the Boy Scouts, another politically correct institution, by the way, and he implored the Almighty to stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. Now, some contemporary Americans clearly feel deeply uncomfortable with our long history of weaving together a sense of national identity with claims of divine mission, with our consistent assumption that the Almighty has selected this nation for his purposes. These alarmed opponents of theocracy, in quotes, have every right to argue that we will enjoy a brighter, better future by severing the old association between faith and nationalism, but they shouldn't mischaracterize the past or suggest a return to an era of absolute church-state separation that never existed and that certainly our founders never intended. You see, that's the point. I see absolutely no reason at all that anyone could conceivably argue that this country would be better off as a more secular nation. And who is working on the changes? Well, that falls under the heading demanding radical transformation. A candid review of our nation's religious heritage demonstrates that it is today's aggressive secularists, not religious conservatives, who want radical change in the social contract. From the first settlers through the end of World War II, virtually all elements of society accepted and even celebrated the deeply Christian nature of our government and our culture. So what is it that Christian conservatives want, given the fact that this country has been so clearly Christian? Okay, it is a defensive struggle against people who want to deny and alter essential elements of this republic. Tell you how, coming up on this special broadcast. Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedvedHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties, about the question of whether America really is a Christian or is it a secular nation. There's a trick answer to that trick question. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Described as a church hymn, it is the battle hymn of the Republic. And yeah, it was wildly popular on the Union side, at least, during the war between the states. Now it, of course, is cherished as a part of the American hymnal. And I'm focusing on these patriotic songs because when you look at them, it shows how utterly absurd is the proposition that America was founded as a secular nation, it always flourished as a secular nation. Okay, if you want to believe that, then, okay, when did it change if we were supposed to be so secular from the beginning? It must have changed before Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem and put in it the words, and this be our motto, and God is our trust. It must have changed sometime before you have Julia Ward Howe writing Battle Hymn of the Republic and writing very specifically about Jesus Christ. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. See, this is the essence of the argument. If you ask people, is America a Christian nation? Stupid people will say, no, it never was. It was always a secular nation. Okay, we've just presented a great deal of evidence that that was not true in our founding. And then some people will say, well, yeah, it used to be a Christian nation, but that changed. Question, when did it change? Did I miss something here? When did it change? I think there are people who are trying to change it, but there are many of the rest of us, not all of us Christians, who would like to defend this nation's religious heritage because I think it's good. It's the other side that is involved in the desire to change America. And that goes to a basic question. What is it that Christian conservatives really want? Christian conservatives seek to restore America far more than they hope to change America.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, picked Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at The Medved Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now, who've not yet taken the leap to become a Medhead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing Medhead members, we've discounted everything at the Medved History Store by 50%. Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at The Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. San Francisco's school board has ordered 44 schools to settle on new names by December 18th, replacing historic figures they've associated with racism, abuse of women or the environment, exploitation of workers, and hostility to, quote, queer or transgendered populations. Washington High School and Jefferson Elementary must go, of course, along with Roosevelt Middle School and Paul Revere K-8. Lincoln High School also makes the dishonor roll because of Abe's alleged crimes against Indians. Though he commuted 1862 death sentences for 264 Lakota warriors who had slaughtered 800 American civilians. Even Diane Feinstein Elementary demands a change. Because as mayor, she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in a historic City Hall display. This mid-pandemic timing of staggering stupidity has outraged Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and it's appropriate to demand that Kamala Harris take a stand on the controversy roiling her home base. Would she dare support similar insanity on a national scale? I'm Michael Medved. What is it that Christian conservatives really want? Christian conservatives seek to restore America far more than they hope to change America. If you take a look at the most controversial goals of Christian conservatives, what are they? Banning abortion? Limiting marriage to male-female unions? What a concept. Returning prayer to schools? Educating kids for self-control rather than condoms? Displaying religious symbols on public property? Restricting obscenity on the public airways? None of these goals count as daring innovations or revolutionary transformations. In fact, as recently as the years of my own childhood, the United States cheerfully, even proudly, embraced every single one of the rules and norms now considered radical and theocratic by critics of the Christian right. In other words, what the Christian right wants to do is to restore America to the Eisenhower era. Okay, at least in terms, not in everything, not in terms of segregation, God forbid, but in terms of accommodating and affirming Christian faith. In Pennsylvania, the state where I was born in Philadelphia, the old law required, quote, that at least 10 verses from the Holy Bible be read without comment at the opening of each public school on each school day. Now, that was the law in Pennsylvania, for goodness sake, when I was born. Four other states enforce similar legislation requiring mandatory Bible readings every morning before class. That's a total of five states. And 25 more states had laws on the books explicitly authorizing optional Bible readings before the Supreme Court definitively struck down all such statutes in the Abington decision of 1963. Does that mean that Eisenhower's America constituted some dictatorial theocracy, that it was the equivalent of Iran or Afghanistan be under the Taliban? Hardly. Did we only throw off the crushing yoke of religious tyranny with the sweeping church-state Supreme Court decisions of the 1960s? Oh, come on.
Recent skirmishes over religious displays on public property highlight the fact that it's secular militants who want to remake America in a style that's unrecognizable to citizens of an earlier era. Only on rare occasions do people of faith attempt to insert Christian symbols in new venues, as did the controversial judge Roy Moore with his ultimately banished Ten Commandments monument in Alabama. For the most part, the symbolic disputes involve memorial crosses, Ten Commandments displays, or nativity scenes that appeared without challenge for 50 years or 100 years until the ACLU brought lawsuits to cleanse the landscape of this unconstitutional pollution. In the past 50 years, the separationists have enjoyed remarkable success in stripping away signs of religious influence. But it's at best arguable that they've shaped a better country in the process. What's better about it? The majority of Americans resist the march towards some religion-free utopia and yearns rather for a more relaxed, more balanced relationship between faith and state, and for the spirit of the beloved old songs. If it's true that the founders actually intended to create a secular society rather than a Christian one, then it's obvious that they failed miserably. Because the society that came into existence after the Constitution was and remains deeply Christian. And to most citizens, America doesn't feel like a failure. It doesn't feel like a mistake. Even the most avid religious activists intend no theocratic coup, but they pray rather for further blessings from the Creator. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. And that brings us to a song that we've featured here. That song, We Gather Together. What is the message of that song? It's also sometimes referred to as the Pilgrim's Hymn. Did the Pilgrims really sing that song? Well, historians suggest that they probably knew it. It actually was an import from Holland, where the Pilgrims had spent time. And we know it was popular in Holland in precisely the time period that they lived there. And what's the underlying message of that song and its relevance for us? We will get to that and more.
Michael Medved.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Despite possible disappointment in the outcome of the presidential race, Republicans can find reasons for encouragement in the election returns of November 3rd. GOP congressional candidates performed far better than expected, making significant gains in the House and holding their own in Senate contests. These victories have set up the strong likelihood that Mitch McConnell, himself handily reelected, will maintain the GOP's crucial Senate majority. This means that the more radical, alarming elements of the Democratic agenda can be blocked in the upper House. No court packing, no Green New Deal, no automatic statehood for D.C. or Puerto Rico, no confiscatory tax increases. The founders, who provided for a system of checks and balances to prevent too much concentrated power in the hands of a single faction, would be pleased to see that even if a Democrat ultimately wins the White House, the tradition of divided government will endure. I'm Michael Medved. The song that's sometimes known as the Thanksgiving Hymn, sometimes it's known as We Gather Together, has a very long and deeply American history, even though it started on the other side of the Atlantic. So did most of us, or at least our forefathers, our ancestors. That song started in 1597. That's the first time it was written down. And it was written down in Netherlands by some of the Protestants who were fighting against the Catholic King Philip II of Spain, and the words in Dutch were Wilt heden nu treden, loosely translated, we gather together. It appeared in print in a 1626 collection of Dutch patriotic songs, and it's very likely, at least according to people who are historians of the Pilgrims knew about it. Why? Because it was very popular in Holland. They lived in Holland before they sailed to the New World. We certainly know that Dutch settlers to the New World brought that particular song to these shores. And then in 1877, it was picked up, it was published in Leipzig, Germany, And then Theodore Baker, an American scholar who was studying in Leipzig, translated into English as a prayer of thanksgiving to be sung by a choir. The words are deep, and they really go directly to what we're talking about in this special broadcast, Is America a Christian Nation? You can get a CD version of the broadcast or a download of it from our website at michaelmedved.com. The words are profound. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known the wicked oppressing. Now cease from distressing, sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. And then this. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. In the midst of all the sound and fury of the campaign, you may not have noticed that Democrats have entirely abandoned one of their favorite issues of the past two decades. In 2020, you hear nothing about campaign finance reform or longstanding liberal hopes of limiting citizens and companies in supporting their favorite causes. As recently as 2012, Obama, Hillary, and other prominent liberals spoke of amending the Constitution to strike down the Citizens United case that made it easier for corporations to participate in ongoing public debates. Why have Democrats dropped that point of view? Because Joe Biden has uncorked a gusher of money, breaking all records, outspending Trump by more than 3-1 on TV ads in key swing states. 4 years ago, Hillary also outspent Trump, but lost the election. Biden's runaway spending should strip Democrats of any ongoing ability to attack their opponents for trying to buy elections.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.